Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back again with another roundup episode of Flame On. I'm being joined on the East Coast by BJ.
Hey, how's it going?
And Eric.
Hello.
And on the West Coast, we have got Brian.
Greetings, comrades. How is the glorious revolution today?
Viva la revolution.
Have we gotten the kings out of office yet?
There's no kings in the America.
That's right.
Good Just answer. An aneurysm away from freedom.
Oh, jeez.
No, because...
I don't know. I count at least three people that need to have aneurysms.
At least. Yeah.
I can think of a whole cabinet.
How is the war-torn Chicago home front?
My area, not really that impacted by anything going on. There has been some stuff that's happened around the area, but I haven't personally seen anything going on. Not to say that there isn't a lot that is happening. I have seen a lot of videos. They are predominantly targeting... you know, like the South Side and areas that are a little more Hispanic populated, which, I mean, it's Chicago, that's kind of all over the place, but the concentration has been a little bit further outside of, like, the city proper. Although, some of those videos where there's been, like, the tear gas canister that was deployed outside of a car, near an elementary school, like, that was not too far from where I live, from what I could gather of where it was happening. But yeah, you know, for being as riotous and lawless as Portland, yeah, there's
I want to go down to Portland so bad just to see all of the inflatable costume people in one place. The No Kings rally here in Seattle, there were a bunch of people who did the, I think it was like Spirit. They have like the inflatable costume. Some of them, they have like a unicorn that I saw. And I saw like 10 of them easily in Seattle. Are there any inflatables? Are there any local inflatables in the Chicago area? I feel like. There might be.
I'm sure. I did not. I was not personally at the protest on Saturday, but I did happen to see. What was the one we saw? There was a guy on a bike, and it was an inflatable costume, and I want to say it was a cowboy on a dinosaur. And Classic. He was riding a bicycle, or he was riding, like, you know, a divvy bike. In Boys Town. So yes, the inflatables are out in full force no matter where you are, I believe. And then I think, what, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, there was the No Kings like march and protest, and then the pride parade right after.
I mean, I assume so, but I was out of town this weekend at the Glitter Bomb Spiel, so that was an entirely different sort of atmosphere. Not so many inflatables, just many, many, many pairs of short shorts on the ice.
Pride was happening in Orlando the same time as the No Kings protest. Actually, the No Kings protest was like before the official start of Pride. And then, like, people just kind of walked down the street. Because I think the No Kings protest was at Dr. Phillips Performance Center in downtown Orlando.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I was just kind of watching it live online while I was at our own No Kings protest here in Noonan. So it was every little township around Georgia pretty much had a protest. It was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, we had a lot of them here. Yeah, outside Seattle area, everywhere. Yep.
No, that's great to hear and great to see. I mean, I saw people on like Blue Sky posting about their town of like 4,000 people had, you know, like 4% of the town's population out protesting. Like, that's significant for, especially some of these people were posting from like Idaho and like, you know, very traditionally red states. So it's enough to give you a little glimmer of hope, you know, at least for a hot second before everything else just kind of bubbles back up to the surface and you realize everything that's going on. But we are here to not only discuss some of the sadder topics of what is going on in the world, but we're also here to chat about the world and pop culture. A couple of us on this podcast have just leveled up to another age. And you know what's weird is like this, I guess there... October always has 31 days, obviously, but the way that the calendar falls, we ended up with like an extra weekend. And I know this is like an extra pay month for me. Like I get 3 paychecks, but it feels like everything is happening later. Like normally we'd be recording a little earlier in the month. Orlando Pride is a little later this year. Although I feel like last year they did it on the same weekend as well. It used to be closer like the weekend before to try to tie into National Coming Out Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it was BJ's birthday weekend, and then the following weekend would oftentimes be Bear Bus, which is then my birthday weekend. But I feel like now that I don't run Bear Bus and the Parliament House isn't there, they were like, okay, we can move it back a week. Because well, you imagine,
because Atlanta Pride is now on National Coming Out Day.
Yeah, it used to be Atlanta and Orlando was the same, but now it sounds like they're not. Yeah.
Now they're separated by like a weekend. Usually it just depends on when National Coming Out Day starts, and I'm not sure why Orlando moved theirs a little later, but
Atlanta.
Yeah, like, cuz I think they pilfer from each other.
Yes. Very much. Yeah, no, I think that's what it was, because I think Atlanta moved second, and then they realized everything was just too on top of each other, and the communities that go to an Atlanta Pride would come to Orlando's Pride, and the community that goes to Orlando Pride would go to Atlanta Pride, so it makes a little sense, but it then takes it away from, oh, well, we moved it to October, so that way it would be in conjunction with National Coming Out Day. Now it doesn't. But hey, as long as everybody gets to celebrate their pride, that's really what's important. And sweat a little less, especially in hotter areas like the Southeast. How was the weather for Atlanta Pride, BJ?
It was kind of perfect. It was like fall has officially started here. I know this weekend... last night it was like 40 degrees. And then last weekend, I think the low was like 55 or something like that. So it was like 78 during the day and like 55 at night. So it was perfect, weather for it. But I was in Palm Springs.
So yeah, I was going to say, like, I asked you and then I was like, wait, you were traveling, weren't you?
I travel so much for work now. I just kind of look at the weather of the places I'm going and the places I live. Because let me tell you, I got to Palm Springs and I was immediately pissed off because I was like, because it was like 78 during the day in Georgia and like 55 at night. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. And then I flew out to 98 degrees during the day. And then it rained one morning in Palm Springs and everybody was like, ugh. It's so humid, and I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like everybody was like,
give me just one night, una noche.
I was
no,
just like,
no, what do nobody you else mean? Wanted to laugh at the 98 degrees joke. Thanks. Hey, I appreciate you. Y'all call yourselves my friends. Damn.
That was the only boy band my sister wasn't into, so I never really listened to any of their music. NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and. There was a girl group in there somewhere. So those two were on replay nonstop. But 98 degrees
groups.
She was not into 98 degrees. I think they looked too old for her.
That kind of makes sense, though. That kind of makes sense.
They look. I see older pictures of them back when I was in high school. And I was like, damn, like they were men. NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. I think there were two members of Backstreet Boys that I was like, okay, those are full grown ass men, but like everybody else looked like they could easily pass for like 17 or 18. But yeah, no, 98 degrees. Those were full grown ass men.
They were. But they brought us Nick Lachey. Not derogatory. Maybe derogatory. Not sure how I was saying that. But no, good. How was Palm Springs for your birthday?
It was amazing. It was good. I lucked out and I got to help set up for Western Exposure. So I got like two nights on the dime of the setup crew. So I got to stay at the resort for like a full week. And then my friends, if you're anybody listening, if you're ever in Palm Springs, there's a card shop / game shop out there called Big Deck Energy. And that is a card shop that some friends of mine opened up. And apparently they're the only card / game shop within like a 50-mile radius. So they are busy and they run out of stuff. So make sure if you go there, pick up some of their T-shirts, too, because it's a hoot. It's actually, I've fallen back in the fucking Magic the Gathering again, because they have been doing collaborations and I've managed to sidestep the Final Fantasy collab. But I was not able to sidestep the Spider-Man collab. So the Spider-Man collab definitely got me back in there.
Did they do a Doctor Who collab as well?
They did. I got the Commander deck for Doctor Who because I was not going to do that, and then they had a villain commander deck with Davros and Missy, so I was like, well, fuck me running. And then apparently there's this thing called Secret Lair where they do like one-time releases of IPs, so they've got a Sonic the Hedgehog deck in their Secret Lair packs. So yeah, I'm in trouble. Thankfully I didn't spend all my birthday money on booster packs, just like a third of it. Other than that, though, I bought a bunch of T-shirts. There's a shop out there called Bearware. Give them a look-see if you're out there, because it is almost EDC, and I will be coming down to Orlando for EDC. And I picked up a bunch of festival gear, so I've got my three outfits planned for EDC. So yeah, other than that, it was just a really good fun. I saw a bunch of friends from LA. That came over for the day. I let them use my room as a hub. Debauchery abound, as per usual. I mean, let's
call that a playroom.
I mean, you don't orgy pit. when you're staying at the CCBC, you don't need a playroom.
Oh, that's fair. Oh yeah, you're staying there. Okay.
Yeah, I was staying. So I mean, granted, like you know. Outside of my room, I had a nice view. There's a giant window, so I was able to enjoy the views. And then there was horror movies by the pool. We saw Weapons and Barbarian.
Oh wow!
And Scary Movie. So yeah, it was just a really good fun time catching up with a bunch of people I hadn't seen for almost a year. Well, I did jam out a little bit to the new Taylor album. So
put a pin in that. We'll get to that.
I think you're the only one, actually.
I mean, I've only listened, honestly, there's only like two of her albums I think I actually have a handful of songs from that are like on repeat. But it's the same with Beyonce. Like Beyonce, there's like maybe total, there's one album and like five songs that like I have saved in my Spotify.
And some of those are from the newest album. Okay.
Yes. Yes, okay. Actually. Two from the newest album. The entire album is the one, well, what was the one before Cowboy Carter?
Renaissance.
Oh, yes. All of Renaissance. I have all of Renaissance, and then I've got like a handful sprinkled in from her previous albums. So
I was more surprised that you were into the recent Taylor Swift album.
I was shocked too. One of my coworkers has it on repeat, and there's at least four songs. I think it's the same from her last album. There's like four songs that I'm like, I'm just gonna keep these on rotation. But
from the new album is a higher percentage than the last one. I mean, the last one had 31 tracks. Eric is so overwhelmed by the album that he still hasn't listened to it yet.
Someday I'll be a showgirl, but I have to finish being a poet first.
You're making your way through the eras.
When you get to it.
There's only so many hours in the day I can...
Maybe on December 12th when the new concert film comes out, you could watch the Tortured Poets set in the show itself. Maybe that'll catapult you into listening to the album.
I mean, every time I fly somewhere, I re-download the Eras Tour movie onto my iPad and then not watch it. So.
Oh, I know you're that feeling.
You're just taking up space. You're better than me. I'm literally, I never download anything to my phone or tablet before I get on, before the flight. I'm literally at the gate like,
oh
shit, I need to watch this episode. And I'm like rush downloading like a handful of things. And they're like my group, it's like two groups before I get called.
And then so you hope it's an airport that has Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yes.
Or because, the signal isn't terrible.
At BWI, I was trying to use my phone as a hotspot to download stuff onto my iPad, and that was just taking forever.
Oh, yeah. I flew through BWI on my way up to I swear to God, the names in Long Island are pissing me off. Islip. I was flying in the Islip, and I'm pissed that it's not Islip, but it's Islip. I hate that. So nothing's named correctly.
MacArthur?
Huh?
You flew into MacArthur?
Yeah.
What did you fly Southwest?
Yeah. We all flew Southwest. It was cheaper and easier just to fly in there.
the only reason I ask is it's one of the only airlines to fly into MacArthur. And my parents prefer it when I fly into MacArthur because Islip is much easier to get to. It's about the same distance as JFK, but
yeah.
Let's not get into another New York transit portion. I was in New York after we released the last month's episode still. And friend of the show, Luke, messaged me and he was like, he was getting a good chuckle out of the fact that we just went on a whole like New York transit portion of the podcast. Anywho, real quick, before we go into anything else, Eric, how is Glitter Bombspiel? I've been to that Bombspiel before, and I've enjoyed it. So how was it this year?
It was fantastic. I made it to the A finals.
Ooh.
And then,
you had a stacked team, too.
I have no idea what that means, but ooh.
I was impressed with your team lineup.
I got second place at the tournament.
There we go. Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Did you get the special pin? Did they...
Yeah, I got
very cool.
Yep.
I wish they did pins for everybody, but I've only told Courtney and Laura that a million times.
Apparently, a couple years ago, they did make actual like spiel pins, but they don't do them every year. So it's just, I think they're running out of stock and they don't give them out. You have to buy them.
You have to earn them.
Yeah.
Oh, they sell them for charity. Yeah, yeah. Are they right? Did they raise money for a charity this year? I don't remember if they ever.
They did. I can find the name of it, but it was for homeless and at-risk LGBTQ youth.
Okay. Yeah. Good for them.
I will research the name and come back to that.
Very good. Well, I'm glad to hear that it went well. Nice job on coming in second for the spiel. That's awesome.
So what letter is first? Is that S?
No, what? It's the A final. It's the A final. It's just...
It's the A final.
Yeah. And then whoever wins that is the winner of the spiel. Whoever does not is second place. It's not like a tier list.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I slipped into Sonic the Hedgehog like new video game rules where like S is the highest rank you can get, and then A is like the second place. So I immediately switched into like video game rules. I think DDR has the same grading scale. So okay, all right. Now
I guess we should change the Bond spiel ratings now to have that in there.
The fundraiser was for the Wanda Alston Foundation.
Mm.
Nice.
I think they've used that one before. I feel like that's the one that, yeah, good.
Awesome. Well, good job. Brian, have you done anything recently? I knew that these two were doing stuff. Anything that you've got on your plate?
No.
Brian, are you working?
Yes, I am working. We have not been furloughed.
Are you getting paid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. No. We're getting paid. In fact, what's interesting today is they're saying that we get like a 30-day furlough notice. So they're like, well, every day we don't get a notice, that's 30 more days. Because I had been like getting ready to file for unemployment, basically getting all my paperwork ready to go, taking out a loan because I wanted to make sure that I had covered. I mean, like I had been like doing all these like research things. And then I hear that today and I'm like, well, whatever, fine. I mean, it's not bad news. It's just like, what have I been doing? Yeah, no, I actually am flying Thursday to Broomstone's Curling Club to compete this weekend at the Zombie Spiel. Ooh. And I got suckered into this one because some of my Seattle friends here had like a conference in Boston. And it's this lovely couple, John and April, who have been helping me a Rainbow Spiel now for the last couple of years. And they said, hey, you want to curl? And I was like, wow, I've not curled with you guys. So although actually April is now on my Monday night team, but yeah, so I'm like, hell yes. I looked at the like a team list, like all the people, and I'm like, I would much rather have been at Glitter. So many people I know at Glitter.
I mean, people were asking with. About you.
Yeah.
You got lots of compliments on the Corgi shirt that you got me.
Oh, you wore it? Oh, good. Yeah. Yay.
Poor gay.
It's a cute shirt. I forgot where I found that too. No, I really miss Glitter, and I miss like part of me is like, why am I going to another like basic ass Bond spiel and not going to a Pride spiel? Like,
well, hopefully you guys are at least wearing costumes if it's a Halloween spiel.
Yeah, it's zombies. So we're doing witches. We're basic ass witches. So I'm gonna be in my witchy drag,
I'm testing your nerd life here. You definitely have to have some sort of Necronomicon-esque book in that bookshelf behind you, right?
Yeah, I mean, nothing with like human skin on the cover. Is that what you're looking for?
Well, no, just like a replica or like because you could easily go as a necromancer and then people just think it's a witch.
I do not care about this. Is a hot take. I don't know. Eric probably backed me up. I don't care about the costumes. I really don't. If I'm not doing drag, I don't care. And I don't think I'm doing drag. So this is like an arena club doing it at Broomstones.
All the rest is drag.
Well, that's true. But like, you know what I mean.
You are not doing curling.
Exactly.
Out of the millions of gay podcasts in this world that are horror based, how did I land on the one with zero horror fans?
I'm not a horror person at all. In fact,
nobody that's ever been on this podcast, I think, has ever been a horror.
I watched Weapons. Was. That's not really horror. Josh was, okay. Yeah, you were. Oh, well, yeah. Actually, both Joshes were, I think. Jared was, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Jared was. Jared, that was like the only time he would get animated was when we were talking about horror movies.
I wish I gave, I mean, like, okay, so we started watching Dracula I've tried Dracula before and I couldn't make it through it. I started the new season, Titans season 2. Their production is so much better. I know we're going to pop culture now, but this is relevant. I don't like the aesthetic. Like, I think the kitschy stuff appeals to me. So the first episode they had like the Halloween theme party, and then they had these cute videos and they were kind of playful and it was fun. But when they get into their like hardcore horror, and I'm like, no, that's not my thing. It's just not ever been my thing. So I am not going to be going all out for this Bond spiel. I have a witch hat with fringe and I have a cape and I'm going to wear something underneath and I don't know what, and I may take some makeup. We'll see. I don't know. And it's going to be Boston and it's going to be not work for the first time in a million years. So yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. But I'm tired of these basic ass Boston. Yeah. Tired of these basic ass Bond spiels. I'm only going to go to Pride spiels soon.
Do you park the car in Harvard Yard?
Not if I can help it. Driving in
Boston. Have you seen there's a new spiel happening?
Which one?
Stevens Point in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Is doing one.
So there's a cabal of us Pride spiel planners that are all constantly chatting on Facebook, and I can barely keep up sometimes, but Stevens, I don't know who's the one doing it. I think I saw the name, but either way, yes, we're up to 8 now, I think.
I think that was 7 because everybody was counting this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I heard Nude Spiel.
Nude Spiel?
That's what I heard.
So it's funny you say that, because one of my curlers here asked me, like made me promise. I was telling him about the Cypress Cove and how I used to play at this nudist resort. And they're like, you got to promise me you're not going to have a nude spiel here. I'm like, why do you think I would have a nude spiel here? Just because I told you I used to play at a nudist resort? Like, what? Why? That's so impractical.
Yeah, screw them. I want to see. I see. That's how you'd get me to go.
But there are people trying to take over the Columbus beers of Columbus, trying to make it the queers of Columbus.
I would be
just by registering so many gay teams.
I think I heard that. Yeah, no, I would totally be down for that. Those are the ones I need to go to. The ones in the Midwest, I have been to all the other coastal ones. Yeah, I need to do the Midwest next year. Well, Chicago, I guess that counts. But yeah. Anyway, I'm just tired of these basic spiels. I don't want to do it anymore. Why am I doing this one? I don't even know.
As Eric was saying, Steven Spiel, I just wanted Berg at the end of it. Yeah.
Oh.
There we go.
Sorry. Took me a bit. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm slow today. I've been reading, I'm not even kidding you, for work, I've been reading The Warrior Ethos by Pete Hegseth.
Why?
We have to pitch these projects in the new administration. And so we have to, it's not like I'm reading. I'm like ChatGPT reading and getting quotes that I can like pepper into the, to appease the master.
Disgusting.
It is disgusting. I feel disgust. I feel like I lost brain cells.
Do you just lay in the shower afterwards? Just like trying to get clean and you never will.
Oh, I've sold my soul. I know I'm unclean forever.
Oh no, it's very much how I feel. Like I'm supposed to be furloughed. I'm supposed to be furloughed, and I'm supposed to like not be getting paid. And I had like a whole plan. I had a second job lined up, and then all of a sudden we were all put on this project. For those of you listening, Google Screwworm. It's absolutely disgusting and horrifying. But that's the big bad that is like 70 miles from the border with cattle crossings. And if you think your meat's expensive now, wait till that sucker gets across the border. But we
What are you talking about? The president said prices are going down for everything.
Oh. I mean,
things 150, 200, 400%.
If you want to like a drill worm in your steak when you're cooking it on the grill, I'm sure that'll be cheap. But so that's a big project that the 4-H Barbie, the Secretary of Agriculture, is like massively like it's the one thing she can do that's actually like super helpful. So now they're just throwing tons of money at it. So instead of being furloughed, they're just having us paid through AQI funds. And they're like, help with this, but we really can't do anything because we can't purchase dogs and we can't, like, we can't travel really, like, with the government shut down. So we're just kind of like working and just being like, cool, I guess. I mean, money well spent, since, you know, you're giving me your money, but at the same time,
just pray, yeah, just pray the worms away.
Pray the worms away. It works. Yeah. But they'd say, oh, Jesus.
So, yeah. Seriously, Google it. Screw worm.
I just did, and it's horrifying. Don't ever.
Oh, yeah.
Good thing I really don't eat meat anymore, because otherwise I'd be worried about the screw worms being in my steak.
Oh, yeah. It worked out for RFK.
Oh, no, no. The best part is they can infect us and, like, pets as well. So.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
All right, Matt, you're going vegetarian.
At this point. So, on a different note, let's go away from that for a minute.
Pat, what did you do for your birthday?
Got drunk a lot, actually. Dinner with friends, yeah. Dinner with friends at the new Hamburger Mary's that is now open here in Chicago. Went out for drinks after that to SoFo and Jackhammer. Saturday was the annual birthday brunch at Roscoe's, followed by a slushie at Sidetrack and some karaoke last night. So it's been a long but fun weekend. But speaking of my birthday, I want to give a big shout out to another friend of the pod. When we recorded last, there were two things that I had mentioned that I was like, oh, if you want to get me a birthday present, this is, you know, this is something you can get me. And as we all know, podcast, visual medium, but I'm going to hold this up. Jamie got me the X-Men 97 Cyclops and Phoenix, or Jean Grey. But the old school green dress, so you can pose them like the cover of the iconic X-Men Dark Phoenix Saga cover. And then I bought myself the Carly Rae Jepsen magenta swirl 10th anniversary Emotion double vinyl because it came back in stock. And I was like, okay, cool. But one other thing that I want to share with you all that I haven't yet, and it's been like a month. So when we recorded last, you remember that I was excited because my diva had put out a new album, or was putting out a new album, I think, beforehand. And there was a signing in Union Square at a Barnes & Noble that I did not get tickets for. After we recorded that, it was announced that she was signing CDs at a local record store on Long Island. I met Mariah Carey.
What? My God. How much did you embarrass yourself or gush? That's what I need.
I didn't. You know? I didn't. I thought I was going to pass out. I practiced what I was going to say beforehand. And it was maybe 10 seconds. I think she said hello or thank you. I don't think both. But it was very much, I stood in line for 3 hours waiting to get in, and it was about 10 seconds. But as we got in and we were like in the final stretch, she got up to take a break. So we got to see her. She waved at like our little group of people that were there. And just got to tell her that I appreciated her being a supporter of the queer community for so long, and that I love her. And I think she said thank you to that. And, but yeah, I was a foot and a half away from the Mariah Carey, 35 years of fandom, just like right there. And it was amazing. So that's how I ended September. That was September 30th. It was really freaking awesome, but I was so excited about it and managed to keep my composure through it. The local News 12, sent out a crew of two people to do some reporting and film some stuff there. So I'm at, like, for like a split second, I'm on the video that they uploaded to YouTube.
Pat, you and I both were on News 12. Awesome. That's awesome. We're both Eric, Brian, go to New York and get on News 12 so we can say the podcast has been on a, has been on a news report. Go now.
You have a little over 2 months. We need to do it in the same calendar year. It needs to be all of us. And...
well, at they had New York Comic Con, I think, this past weekend, and a friend of mine was in the background in one of the News 12 news reports. And he was like, see, I did it too. And all the gays just get on News 12. Everybody. Yeah.
News 12 will cover anything. Like, it is... I'm telling you, it's not the first time I've been on News 12. I, as a child doing Taekwondo, like, I was on News 12 for that. News 12 will cover anything. They will cover, what's the old joke? They'll cover the opening of an envelope. It's News 12. But I just wanted to gush about the fact that, one, that it was super sweet and super awesome. I have my Cyclops and Jean Grey figures, and that I got to meet Mariah. So... by the way, Here for It All, good album. I don't know if it surpasses Caution for me in her discography, but a very solid album. I'm excited that she has more music. Earworms, great sound overall. But as I give my review of an album, let's talk about The Life of a Showgirl real quick. I don't want to dive too much into it because it makes me want to throw my head into a wall repeatedly. but I got back.
I mean, that's Chicago. The fate of Ophelia, isn't it?
Only if I drown afterwards. If I bang my head against the wall enough to fall into a creek and drown, then yes. So I drove home on October 2nd, got back with about 4.5 hours or maybe four hours before the album came out. Listen to it, and then for the next couple of days, just got bombarded with what felt like a coordinated effort to discredit Taylor Swift through TikTok and all, you know, all social media. And that's continued on for like the last 3 weeks. BJ, what are the songs that you, you said you had like 4 songs off the album. Do you know the names of them?
Canceled, Wood, Ophelia, and I was making a vain effort at pulling up the album. I was like, I'm gonna log you out. Let me see. It's like right there. Canceled was like the first one I heard.
Okay.
Canceled was the first one I heard. Wood was the one that I was like, well, it's called Wood. I'm gonna listen to it. And then
she said, "Redwood Tree, it ain't hard to see. His love was the key that opened my thighs."
Yup.
The first time I heard that, I audibly
gasped.
That's
a real line.
Redwood Tree, it ain't hard to see. His love was the key that opened my eyes.
Okay. Not thighs.
No, it's both. I'm just trying to remember where it falls in the lyrics. The Redwood Tree is the thighs. Redwood Tree, it ain't hard to see. His love was the key that opened my thighs. Because before that, it's, it might sound cocky, matized me. It gets dirty in like the second half of the song.
Yeah, it gets real dirty, and then I couldn't understand why I liked Wood so much, and then I realized I was like, oh, I'm thinking this is what she's talking, how it must be like having sex with Travis Kelce, or her just looking at his dick print all the time, and she wrote the song looking at his dick print, so like it's the closest I'll ever get to Travis Kelce's dick, so I'll take it. The Fate of Ophelia was pretty good. I think that's the number one trending one on Spotify right now. And then Canceled was really fun. And I feel like because she put out the song Canceled, anybody talking shit about this album, that's who the song is talking about.
I mean,
if she did that on purpose, she is a mastermind and we need to fear her. If not, she's just a really fun chick to like write music. It was just those four songs were just really I felt something with all of them. So yeah, it was just it either fun or like it would make me think. But yeah, I just it's a standard Taylor Swift thing. I've never overly disliked her. I've never been a stan, but I've always respected her. She makes music that resonates with a bunch of people, and that's a talent. People canceling her is definitely a machination. You can't tell me it's not a machination. I don't know who's pulling those levers, but
well, even the presidents tried to do that.
Yeah, the moment she said she wants women to vote, and she's kind of embedded herself with football fans, a lot of people who are like fascist adjacent will immediately see her as a threat. So you're just going to have a lot of he-man women hating mouth breathers that are either going to convince their like pick me girlfriends and wives to like hate the album. You know, it feels really forced. Like I watched a couple of reaction videos where like people like the first note starts and they make a face and I'm like, okay, you're not really like a single note. And they're like, eh, I don't like the way it sounds. And I'm like, okay, well clearly somebody slipped you a 20 to talk shit about Taylor Swift, but whatever. So
what kills me is that a lot of these videos started going up like 20 minutes after the album went up.
You couldn't have listened to the whole fucking album
for
before
real.
You're like, it's trash. It was like I said, it's super forced. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, I don't, yeah. So I'm like, whatever. Like, if a month later, I'll be like, okay, let's hear what you think. But like,
exactly
before the album even dropped, people were posting those videos. And
I mean,
like,
it's just Lex Luthor's monkey bots farming rage on the internet.
Yes. Oh my god, that is. That
now,
is
hold on, though. Hold on,
true.
Hold on, hold on. So are you both, all of you Taylor Swift fans on this show, or BJ, you too, y'all like the album overall?
I literally haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, that's
so
right. We talked
I don't
about
have
that.
An opinion.
So Eric Pratt, okay, like so
5 to 6 years.
Pat, you like the album. You think it's overall a good Taylor Swift album?
Yes. It did not resonate with me right away. And this is the thing about music and art. It doesn't always click right away, and for me I need to spend a little bit of time with the lyrics, with the music, like, you know, I need to get into it a little bit. It was the same with Tortured Poets.
You got,
especially when a
it.
Second album dropped while I was asleep. I listened to the first album and then I went to bed like an idiot, you know. Should have learned after midnight. Stay up longer. You know, and then I actually stayed up because even though Taylor was like, there's only 12 songs, there's no more songs, I was still like, you know what, she did a 3 a.m., a 2 a.m., maybe 1 a.m. is in there. And it's only midnight in Chicago, so I'm like, I'll stay up. But the more that I've listened to it, the more that I like it. These songs are earworms. Like, almost like every day or every other day, I have a different song stuck in my head. Like, I've had Honey stuck in my head for the last couple of days. And it's just like, there are some of these. But yes, to answer your question, overall, is it my favorite Taylor Swift album? No. I will still die on the Reputation / Folklore hill, because depending on which way the wind is blowing is which one is my number one. But it is a good, solid Taylor Swift album.
Okay. Did
you have a follow-up question to that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I have several Taylor Swift passionate friends at the Curling Club. And both of them, and there's one more I need to ask. Her opinion will basically be up to and equivalent to yours, I think, because of the level of diehardness that you both have. But one of the guy friends I have, Phil, he hated it and was very dismissive or whatever of it. But he's a guy, so that's why I'm like, well, let me talk to Ashley. She's the Swiftie that I 100% fan.
Do you
seen
know
her,
what
like,
his favorite Taylor Swift album is?
Oh God, I don't even ask. Literally past the point of me caring. But like, it would be good bellwether to know what his style, because obviously she contains multitudes, right? So, point is, I'm glad to hear it's better than people have told me, and I will confirm with her tonight. I think if she liked it, and then there you go. Not like I'm going to go out and listen to it either. But well, as far as like the whole, it got prejudged, like I'm sure it did. The people are going to hate. Hate is going to hate, right? But I just heard from other fans that they were like, eh, about it. So maybe they just have to marinate. Maybe they just didn't sync with them.
And this is the thing. This is also a big part of it. So during the hashtag Taylor Swift is over party, which then led into Reputation, which then led into Lover, which then led into the pandemic, her fan base was not as large. It was large, but it has exploded exponentially since dropping Folklore and Evermore in 2020. The re-recordings, the Eras tour. I mean, that thing went on for basically 2 years, and she dropped another double album during all of that. The albums that she dropped in that time frame, people then jumped on the bandwagon and she saw her popularity explode. These are the same people so the people that are there now are maybe a little more used to Folklore style, Tortured Poet style, some of Midnight's, Evermore. This isn't that. And then the other people who were like, oh, well, she's working with Max Martin and Shellback and it's going to be 1989 part two. That's not what this was. And for her to say this is a glimpse behind the curtain, my life on tour, people, what I've gathered, because even like one of my coworkers who I talked to about this and we had a discussion about this, the people that I think are the most vocal about, I don't like this album, this album isn't good, had a preconceived idea of what this album was going to be. And then just were disappointed themselves because they're like, yeah. Well, Taylor said it was the life of a showgirl. But it's just one. There's a lot of different showgirl types. Two, it's the life of a showgirl. This is her showing you a peek behind the curtain. If you look at the songs, you can see things. She was falling in love, thinking back, like, you know, having these things like ruin the friendship. There was probably something going on where she lost somebody and it made her think about this time where, you know, they tying that song back to like a high school because she briefly went to, you know, like real people school, you know, and a guy that died young that she went to school with. Like there are all these pieces where you're like, okay, cool. What kills me, there's a couple of things. And part of the reason I wanted to dive into this is one, what I was mentioned before, that you cannot accurately critique something within minutes of hearing it. That's not a thing. And everybody,
well,
even
you can, but you shouldn't.
Exactly. That's a better way to say it. Yes.
You gonna look goofy as hell.
That's the thing. Two, this is a pattern. When Tortured Poets came out, everybody on the internet bitched, moaned, and complained. Why are there 31 songs? This album is too long. Why is it 2.5 hours or 2 hours, whatever it is? Why should you use such big words? Taylor Swift is racist, because we had that conversation on Tortured Poets as well with I Hate It Here, when she flat out fucking said, I picked the 1830s, but without all the racists. And they were like, she's racist for that. And I just sat there and was like, what the fuck? And now we have, an Opalite, which is another fucking banger of a song. You know, she says the Onyx Knight, and now the sky is Opalite. And people are like, she is saying that because Travis Kelce dated a black woman, and now he's with a white woman. And this is a dog whistle that she is racist. I need y'all to fucking just go play in traffic. Fuck touching grass. I just need y'all to play in traffic.
I need you to understand the way I didn't know that Travis Kelce dated a black woman and how that just puts me that much closer towards him. Made me immediately wet. So I thank everybody for this outcry, for letting Pat know about it. And now I know that if I were a black woman, I would have had a chance. So like that alone, like that makes me, yeah, that's great. That's wonderful.
They were together for like, it was a whole thing because they were together for like 6 years and then had the nerve to start fucking, when the engagement happened, starting to shit on Travis and being like, well, these white men can't, you know, they just string along the black woman, but as soon as a mediocre white lady comes around, and it's just so fucking brain numbing. And then you have the fucking one saying that wish list where she says, I want to have a couple kids, have the whole block looking like you. Like, she wants an all-white neighborhood, and she's racist. Bitch, do you think Taylor Swift is going to have anybody else on that block where she lives aside from her own home? No.
She doesn't want anybody. Nobody. No. She's the HOA. She's the one in charge of the street. Not anybody.
The whole block's going to be looking like him because it's just him. Like, that's it.
Here's my neighbor, and it's just Travis Kelce dressed as like a lawn guy. It's like, here's the pool guy. It's just Travis Kelce dressed as a pool guy. Like, if I had it like that, it would be me and my man. It would be me and my man, and I would dress my
maybe
man up
Jason's
every other
family
day.
Could have like a mother-in-law suite and like down the road, but
down the road, not within walking distance.
Jason and Kylie bought a second home to expand like the perimeter of, because people, and Jason Kelce still arguably famous, but not at the level of Taylor Swift. They bought an additional house to like expand the zone which they could kind of keep people away, because people are insane and will go find them and try to get into their home. So that whole thing. And then the most recent one, the fucking lightning bolt necklace with a goddamn starburst on it. Because the song Opalite is, you know, you're dancing through the lightning strikes, but now the sky is opalite. And people saying, oh, they are SS bolts, and that there are 8 lightning bolts because, you know, the 88 is what it normally is. I haven't heard it as just 8, but whatever. They're like, oh, it's this. I'm like, the lightning bolts are the most generic fucking clip art lightning bolts that you've ever seen in your life. They are nothing like an SS bolt. And the Iron Cross is a goddamn star, like a shining star in the night sky.
That is just misdirection. That is just, I'm like, we've got actual fascists on TV saying shit. I'm like, I don't need to dig for fascism. I can literally just turn on Fox News and be like, it's right there. Like, I can open up a Signal chat that I was not invited to and find it.
Republicans are sitting there talking about how much they worship Hitler, but yet right? We're sitting here going, oh, these are SS bolts.
When all of them are just like, yeah, that Taylor Swift's a dynamite gal, I'll be like, uh-huh, okay. Like, then I'll give a little cross look at Miss Swift, but right now, I'm like, no, I don't have to go hunting for secret fascist like signals. I just quite literally go to like a Young Republicans meeting, and then they'll chase me out with ropes. So, like, you know, I don't have to go hunting for it.
That's exactly easy. Exactly. So I'm gonna stop there because I could go on for a while about this, but because even a friend of mine at after brunch, we went to Sidetrack, and one of my friends said that it was a bad album. And I'm like, it's not a bad album. You may not like, you know, he's like, well, it's Milquetoast. That's a fine opinion. You could say this is not your favorite Taylor Swift album. You don't really enjoy it. Cool. You can have your opinion. You're entitled to that. You don't need to listen to it. She is not coming to anybody's home and putting a gun to their head and saying, buy my stuff, listen to my music. But
I would respect her so much more if she did. I mean, I like her. I would love her if she
did. If she rolled up in this, I'd be like, hey girl, fine, what do you need me to buy? Because I'd be like, I'm hanging out with Taylor Swift. But to sit there and be like, it's objectively a bad album, it's not. It's not an objectively bad album. It's fun, it's pop, it's in a lot of places carefree. It's just, you know, it's a good little time. So check it out if you want to. Don't check it out if you don't want to. It will stay in my rotation. I'll add it to my Taylor Swift playlist, and it'll be fine. But that's enough talking about that for right now. Brian, I'm going to toss this to you. There's been there is at least one topic I know that we've put on the back burner for one reason or another, mostly because I think either like BJ had to bounce with one recording session, you weren't at one. So I know that there's a show.
But yeah, Alien Earth, I forgot we had planned to talk about it, but it is so interesting because it's Noah Hawley, who did Fargo, the Fargo TV shows, who did Legion, the X-Men sort of spinoff TV show. And this is his take on the Alien universe, specifically as a sort of, I will say, prequel, because it is set chronologically prior to the movies, all of them.
Yes.
Except the, was it, Prometheus and Alien Covenant. Those two are prequel, way back. The one he's doing is like an immediate, like, world right before the events of Alien, the first Alien. So anyway, yeah, it sets the stage. And it's on Earth, hence the title. Noah Hawley is...
There is an episode not on Earth.
That's fair. It is mostly on Earth. Or on the way to Earth. Yeah. It's on Earth and on the way to Earth.
Yeah.
Alien, mostly Earth.
Mostly. Six out of Alien. Seven Earth. Actually, that episode is sort of the progenitor of what happens throughout the series. So it's kind of a flashback. Yeah. And yeah, honestly, it's done so well. It's, many people were like, oh my God, this is actually as good as an Alien movie, on a slightly smaller budget, but you really wouldn't know. And it recontextualizes one of the characters and sort of the whole events that are happening, because essentially you have this stand in for a tech bro, tech wizard, tech whatever, kid, what's his name? Kid Prodigy,
I think is what he called himself.
Yeah, Kid Prodigy. And he's this like wunderkind, whatever. And he thinks he's Peter Pan because he basically creates...
Boy Cavalier.
Okay, thank you. That doesn't sound right. But yeah, his company is Prodigy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy Cavalier. And that actor, by the way, phenomenal. I love him in Andor. I think he was in Andor. No, I'm thinking of the brother is in Andor. I forgot what I had seen the actor who played Boy Cavalier in.
But he was in Peaky Blinders, Atlanta, and Black Mirror.
I recognized him from Black Mirror. Yeah, that's where I recognized him from.
Great actor. Interesting character actor. Anyway, so like he is trying to create, not artificial life. That's already been done. We already have robots. We already have cyborgs. But like Ghost in the Shell. So you upload your consciousness into a robot body, and now you're immortal, so to speak.
The hybrids is what they call them.
Yeah, they call them hybrids. So he's trying to create this like Lost Boys tribe of children. He does it with children because they're more adaptable to the technology, and they were dying anyway, so it's one of those deals. And you see it from the main character's perspective. I want to say Amelie because she looks like Amelie, and they do all the Amelie Earth jokes, but Wendy. And then I think her real previous name was, her dead name, if you will, is Marcy. And it's through her. She's kind of the sort of the main, you know, whatever. But she is a great actress because she's playing this, not robot again. You're like, it's like the childlike sort of wonder reflected through this very artificial sort of synthetic personality. It's a great dynamic.
Well, mentally, it's almost like they're kind of frozen, because the doctors and the scientists that are the two scientists that are in charge of the program mentioned that they don't make hormones. They don't make, like, their emotions aren't regulated by anything biological. They're supposed, the idea is that their emotions are regulated by knowledge, but they're kind of frozen at like whatever age almost. That they're like, time will eventually mature them, but it's almost like you need more time than what a normal human would need, since technically, you know, old age isn't a thing they'll die from.
Well, and then they jump.
It's really interesting.
They jump physically from the frail younger form that was dying in all cases, I think, to this like young adult body, you know, like you said, with no hormones to regulate and just jumping through. And so each character, and there's a bunch of them, kind of go through their own journeys in different ways. They don't really explore a lot of it with most of the characters, but like two or three, they really let have these interesting moments to see how this, not only would this journey affect you, but then on top of it, they go in and they rescue this crew, this sort of remnants of the aliens the specimen aliens that survived the crash of this ship that you see how it crashed in episode 5. So all of that's in play. Then you have the brother of Wendy, who or Marcy, who gets involved because he's part of that crew. You've got, what's his name? Timothy Oliphant playing Kirsch, an actual like cyborg. Amazingly, like
oh my god, he was fantastic. Oliphant,
everything he's done. I just went back and watched Broken Hearts Club, well, part of it, and I forgot he was in that. He was like the main guy in it. And amazing, like to see his journey from that through all these other things, Justified, Go, all this stuff. Like every role he's had is like it's, you know, its own unique, interesting thing. So he does a great job in that role. And then forgot the actor's name, but there's a cyborg, not a robot, a cyborg, so augmented human who works for Weyland-Yutani.
Maro, and that's Babu Sise.
Thank you. He's phenomenal. And again, he's the one who's recontextualized. So you think you kind of see why he's doing what he's doing, but you really don't know. And then you find out sort of more his backstory along the way. And that's what Noah Hawley, the guy who like wrote and show ran this whole series, that's what he's good at. He's good at taking these archetypes and these characters. And the plot's interesting. There's sort of weird dynamics. There's weird things that happen. But above all else, this show wasn't even that weird, honestly. It was pretty straightforward, but the character studies and sort of the relationships and sort of the perspectives were really unique and interesting. And then on top of that, you get the alien, and it's not just one alien. You get like the xenomorph, of course. There's just like
two
instances of them. But then you get like the eyeball alien, which the internet became obsessed with. They called her Queenie or something. It was pretty great.
It was they called it like Queen Oculus or something like that. Like an actual intelligent parasite.
Yeah.
Like the aliens are more of a like a predatory parasite where they just use other animals as a means of reproduction and growth. Whereas the Oculus actually like takes over a body. Like, and is actually very intelligent. So like that was super interesting watching that little creepy crawly.
Oh yeah.
Pay attention to the lights. And I like the idea that Predator is a part of the alien universe at this point. They're both together. So you think about every Predator movie that didn't take place on Earth, there were other alien species and other planets that were hostile or had some sort of creature. So it makes sense that like an alien series would actually like look at other specimens.
Which I thought was
super interesting.
And that's like the Predator thing's kind of headcanon. Like, yeah, it exists in certain whatevers, but like in this show, all you have to worry about are the xenomorphs. And then these other weird in the sense that they're based in, what's funny is they're all based in real biology that we have on Earth, but scaled. Like the eyeball is kind of based on a couple different things. There's like this fly creature that like absorbs, like, so most of these are like, they'll take over biologic, like carbon based, you know, humanity, whatever. But the fly actually will eat and like consume synthetics. And so they explore.
The beetle looking thing that eats metals and alloys. And stuff
So I mean, you get so you think they're all pretty safe, and then they have that issue, and then there's that other weird creature that like
Venus flytrap.
Yeah, the Venus flytrap with the little
plant thing that you weren't even
hanging down.
That the whole time you don't see it fucking move, and then you're like, oh no, it crawls. I was like, I didn't love that. That was actually one of the most horrifying moments where I realized that entire pod can just like shuffle around. I was like,
it's disturbing in the way they realize these aliens. So whether you're into the alien stuff because it's just like that thriller creep factor, I don't even know, the horror, I guess, or you're like into the sci-fi elements, or you're into and exploring the concepts of what is life, what is synthetic, what does it mean to be both, you know, all of that, that's all there. The writing is solid. I will say the ending was kind of like, oh cool, what's next? Because it's not it's cliffhangery, but it's also just sort of like this weird pause in the action, because you fully anticipate there's stuff that's going to happen like right after they cut, but they didn't show it because they're trying to, I don't know, just end on a place that was, anyway, it's weird. It's a weird ending. I was definitely surprised by where they stopped, but I feel like it did well enough. It's probably very expensive to shoot, but I'm hoping we'll get another season or two or something out of it.
I'd be fine with them even doing a movie. Yeah,
a movie. Yeah,
doing a movie.
Holly did a movie, and I haven't seen it. It's got what's her name? Natalie Portman, maybe. I don't know. He's got like one movie out there, and his stuff. I just everything he's done has been interesting. It's not always like Legion had some moments that I loved, and had some moments that I thought was horrible. Fargo, there's like one season I was just totally bored by, but overall, every other Fargo thing has been good. So overall, that like anything he's doing, I'm interested. So, but BJ, you liked it, right? It sounds like you're into it.
So here's my hot take. Let me gather my thoughts. The Xenomorph was fantastic in the crash scenes and the scenes in space. Having the Xenomorph as sort of this slight, like, MacGuffin-esque weapon towards the end of the season made me lose something. I'm not entirely sure what it is, whether or not, like, because I still fear the shit out of it. But a lot of those feelings transferred over to Wendy as she
by design
communicate with them.
Yeah,
and it's by design. But I honestly think I think the series would have been a perfect 100% if they had kept the eggs as like a sidebar and had the one Xenomorph erupt from the one doctor when it did in the season and not have the other one just kind of floating around. I get they wanted to have like a reason for her to practice communicating, but I almost feel like the Xenomorph was overused on Earth in a weird way. There's a way you can do it and it wouldn't bug me nearly as much because I was actually more interested in the other alien species.
Yeah, they kind of got lost in the shuffle up until a certain point.
Yeah.
And I kind of like you're saying, you know, this is where you kind of have to feel like they're having to answer it's an alien show, so they got to show the Xenomorph.
Yeah.
But also, they have these other fascinating creatures and characters they want to showcase. So from my perspective, I think the balance was about as good as you're going to get given those criteria. But I understand, like, that last, like, what, two episodes or whatever, where it's Wendy. Spoilers, by the way. It's Wendy and her little pal alien.
Yeah, Xenomorph. Wendy and her little Pokemon Xenomorphs. You know,
it was kind of like, cool, though.
Honestly, I think you could achieve that with a title change of the show. Because the thing is, the show did a whole bunch of things that I really wanted, and that was to understand the actual structure of Earth. To actually, because Weyland-Yutani, like, listen, I work for the fucking USDA, and let me tell you, I'm sitting there during the whole thing with the ship, just breezing past the lab and everything in space, and I'm like, this is violating all sorts of biosecurity laws. But then at the same time, you find out that the entire Earth is actually ruled by five companies, with Prodigy, Kid Cavalier's company, Prodigy, being the newest one. Yeah. So that was interesting to me because in Romulus, we actually get to look at like a planet that's run by Yutani, and the idea that people have to work off like a slave debt almost to whatever company. So I thought that was that bit of world building is something that I've wanted for years because there was a hybrid in one of the Alien movies, Alien Resurrection. One of the characters is a synthetic hybrid. So this is almost like a slight bridge, even though Alien Resurrection, I think, takes place like 400, 500 years in the future.
It's way in the future from,
But at some point, somebody's going to crack that technology, and we're seeing the birth of hybrids right now. So I thought that was a nice little call forward or call back to
another Alien. It's a great world building piece, like you said. Like
you've heard
Weyland-Yutani. We've seen the sort of space forward version of that. I haven't seen Romulus yet. So that's good to know that there's actually
Romulus is so good.
Romulus is
so good.
Is actually watching Romulus before watching the show, because I think Romulus actually is. I think Romulus takes place, I think, between 1 and 2. Romulus isn't like a further out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Romulus. So Romulus is kind of like, and they play around with the whole idea of synthetics and how synthetics don't view the world like people. Because Kirsch, looking at the brother and being like, you want your sister who's going to live for millions and millions of years, who can go out and you know, experience the far reaches of the universe, to be a family with you. Like, the disgusted look he gives him.
Oh, Kirsch is so good. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I'm excited to see what they do more they do with it. I just, like I said, I think a title change would have fixed that little bit for me.
I kind of feel like there are three potential spinoff shows that could happen. Like, it could be very splintered from here off out, just focusing on Neverland and what's happening with the Lost Boys and how they're developing. You could have one with the greater world and all the political dynamics there. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I would be happy to get a prequel series of them farming the alien species.
Oh,
and going
yeah.
out and collecting them. Because the conversations in the first episode, they said, we lost a lot of people acquiring these species and finding out how Weyland Yutani even discovered their existence to send out a crew to go find them, and then all of the trappings within.
Yeah, no, I think that's by design too, because I feel like they're probably like, we don't know how the audience is going to react. We don't know which is more which has more payoff for story. I mean, that a lot of writers will throw so much to try to make sure there's things to work with later, you know. So I think that's a good instinct there.
I really did appreciate the fact, though, that is, so if you read the original, I can't remember which Peter Pan, it was the one he was reading over the thing, the call box. Peter Pan is a fucking monster.
Yeah.
In the original story, he is essentially almost just a demon. He's a child that will not, that like refuses to grow up. It's believed that all of the pirates and Captain Hook's crew are previous Lost Boys that eventually grew up. He would teach children how to fly, but not how to land, and would make fun of them when they were just like shitting themselves, like flying around, crying. Like, Peter Pan was a monster. So and they painted Cavalier in the same way almost. But I like how you've got the obvious. You've got the Lost Boys plus Wendy. You've got Kirsch, who is the crocodile at this point, I'm 90% sure. Then you've got the cyborg Harrow, who is Captain Hook. Like, you've got these pieces, and it's just a really good, interesting way of talking about child exploitation when Kid Cavalier is a boy. Like, he's not an adult yet. He's like a teenager. He's like a 17 or 18 year old. I think he's 19 actually.
No, so, is he really? So,
I think so. I think
I thought by the end they were basically like, I mean, he's young, but I didn't clock the age, but they basically said like, you're not a boy, you're a monster. Like, the Wendy reads him to filth.
Oh no, Wendy picks up on it real quick. Like, when she picks up on it, she doesn't let go. She's like, no, there's something wrong with you. But it's called Peter.
Well,
Pan
he's
syndrome.
A sociopath.
Yeah,
he's a sociopath, but it's called Peter Pan syndrome. There are people that actually have that as like an actual mental thing where they can't grow up. And that's the thing, is he's got all this intelligence and he just can't grow up. So he doesn't want to become an adult. And the bombshell, dropping the bombshell that he was an abused child.
Yeah.
But he still kind of has created this forced family. So like, I like his depth. I'm very interested to see where he goes, because he almost seems proud of the hybrids kind of taking over.
I think he's curious about like what's next, and so he's not like defeated at the end as much as just like challenged, where he's been complaining the whole time. Like, he wants someone intelligent to talk to. He needs a challenge. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, you got what you wanted. My favorite thing, and this again, we're spoiling a little bit. The one of the doctors, the one that gets turned into an alien incubator. My favorite thing is, like, they go back to his poor corpse like three different shots over the course of like two episodes. And you keep going like, okay, what are you doing? Why are you going?
Then
the freaking eyeball gets him. So we get that actor in some weird zombie form coming up in the, with another season.
Well, no, he's got to be escaping the island, right? The eyeball's got to be going to mainland.
I don't know. Right. We don't know. It could be. Maybe.
The eyeball clearly has a problem with the Xenomorphs. Like, it's gone after them multiple times. So the eyeball clearly has some sort of issue with the Xenomorphs. But the eyeball also just... It just wants to fucking talk. It wants to communicate.
The eyeball also had issues with the leeches. Not the leeches, the ticks.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that first, either the first or the fifth episode, one of the prequel episodes, it was trying to protect that doctor from the tick that was escaping the jar.
That laid eggs in
whether,
the jar.
Whether or not it was just because the eyeball marked her to be the one it was going to try to take over.
Right? Yeah. It was weird how the eyeball, at first you thought like, yeah, they were protecting, but then you're like, oh no, you're manipulating to get the outcome you want, which was...
It wanted to free the beetles, so the beetles would start chewing on the electrical box.
Yeah.
And then it would get free. So it clearly wants to be free, but we don't know if it's actually going to leave the island or if it's going to actually talk to Cavalier. If it's actually going to go and like communicate,
I kept thinking he was going to possess Cavalier, and that gets.
If they get another season, I feel like that's where it's headed. I feel like it's headed with him getting what he wants, and he's permanently bonded to something that's as smart as that he deems as smart as him.
Yeah, be so interesting. Pat, you're not watching the show, right?
No, I haven't seen it.
I didn't think so.
I don't think I've seen an alien movie. Period.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big alien person.
Well, it's definitely one of the more interesting sci-fi shows we've had on in a while, and I will contrast that briefly if we have said enough about Alien with Foundation, only to say if you are still watching Foundation, bless your heart. The only reason you should still watch that show is because Lee Pace was bearded, slightly overweight in this last season 3. And shirtless a lot of the time, which was, we love to see it, but I'm just going to say, none of you are watching Foundation, right? Mm-hmm. All right. I'm just going to give you my quick hot take because the ending absolutely pissed me the fuck off. And I have been on board with all of the things that they are doing differently from the books because the books are not great. The books were informative to me. They were the first sci-fi novels I ever read. So that was important. And they were important to a lot of people in that era. But they're not good. You go back and look at it and they're horrible. But they make a change at the very end of the book of the season 3. I mean, it's like you're basically digging up Asimov's corpse and just pissing all over it. It was really bad. It was a really, really bad change that anyway, I'm not saying it's dead to me because I will hate watch, as many longtime listeners know, I will hate watch. But Foundation is gone from Lee, and basically, spoiler alert, Lee Pace may not be coming back. We'll see. All things are possible with this kind of show, but it's probably not going to happen. And that was like 60% of why I would keep watching it anyway. And now it's just nah. So I just want to, if you're looking for good sci-fi, Alien Earth, yes. Foundation, no, not so much. At least not season 3.
You had That's me all. A bearded... shirtless Lee Pace.
Oh my god, no, so much. It's so good. And he's shirtless. He's like, yeah, he's not clothed most of the show. Yeah. Best season for Lee Pace porn.
I'll watch it with one hand.
Real quick before we pop into any other topics that we have, I want to give a shout out. There has been a creator whose videos kept coming across my For You page on TikTok. And then eventually I was like, I'm just liking all of these videos. I might as well follow her. Bonnie Lynn, B-O-N-N-I-E L-I-N-N. And she does these Sailor Moon videos, but it's from the POV of like the Sailor Moon villains. Mostly from the first season. As Queen Beryl, as I was gonna say Opalite. It's not Opalite.
It's like Malachite, or it's Malachite, Zoocyte.
Yes,
I can't remember the other two, but there were four of them.
Queen Beryl's hench aliens, and they are just they're the more recent ones that have been coming up for me are more a little longer form, but it's very much like a spiff and a riff on all of these plots that were part of the Sailor Moon cartoon back in the 90s. And when she does the Serena's classmates, it cracks me up.
I can't remember her name, but the English voice actor, they gave her like this New York accent.
Yeah,
like a heavy Brooklyn accent. It was insane.
Serena, I don't feel so good. Yeah, it's so, and every time she goes Negaverse, it tickles me. If you have not seen Bonnie Lynn's videos, go check her out. They're just fantastic. Also, I think, BJ, I think you mentioned it. New York Comic Con was last weekend. Yep. And I am super excited because they have announced that X-Men 97 Season 2 will be coming out. I think they said summer of 2026. Yep. And that they're hoping to have Season 3 out with less of a two-plus-year gap in between. And showed a trailer, which includes seeing some faces that were part of the X-Men continuity when the show first came out, but will obviously be getting a larger role with Polaris and Lady Deathstrike and Sabretooth and all that. And I'm just super excited for it. So I cannot wait. I want more X-Men.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but I do know, the original showrunner, did he not work on, he only worked on season one, right? Or no, he had notes for three seasons.
I think he had season two mapped out, but yeah. Obviously with everything that went down with DiMaio and Disney, I'm sure that all got, not all, because obviously they put them in a certain spot. You know, you're dealing with ancient time apocalypse. You're dealing with Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, like timeline, and then the regular 90s timeline.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're going to be able to really break everything apart, but I'm sure that they made a bunch of changes. And what that means for season three, I don't know, but I'll be optimistic. I'll hope that it's going to be good. They are taking a lot. It seems like they are taking a lot of these stories from kind of like the 2000s, 2010, and retrofitting them into that 90s aesthetic and that 90s cartoon that we know so well. So I am excited to see it. We'll see what happens. I would love to get a full 5-season run like the first, you know, version did, just without the change to a random, like, animation studio that made everything look really weird because they needed to save money. But you know, we'll see.
I want them to have one goofy episode that uses that animation style. Just like a beach episode.
I was gonna say, they need to do a
some kind of bottle episode. Could even be something they tied into, they got caught by Mojo and this is like a channel that
didn't they have like
animated like that.
They had like a beach, like they had like a beach like comic that would come out like once a year.
Yeah, swim
they had
tradition.
Like an they had yeah they had like an annual X-Men like cookout.
It happened like twice. That, it wasn't annual.
Yeah, oh, okay. I thought it happened like a couple times, but there
yeah, a couple times.
I distinctly remember there being a couple of issues mm-hmm. where they have like a reunion of all the X-Men and everybody comes to the everybody shows up to the mansion to have like a barbecue.
Yeah.
It's an excuse to put them in skimpy outfits, pretty much.
Everybody came for the cookout.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
And you noticed who was not there. So that way you could be like, okay, we see how that rolls. Yeah. The Marvel swimsuit issue, it just had a comeback. They just did one. Was it this year? It was either this year or last year.
This year.
I think last it was this
couple
year.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Russell Dowderman did a bunch of the art for it, and that's when we got the really hot Cyclops and Phoenix with the Cyclops Speedo. Anywho, Yes, those are part of the formative comic years for me with the X-Men swimsuit issues. So yeah, I wanted to just give a quick little shout out to all of that. We don't need to get into too much. Eric, I know you were watching it. What did you think of the finale of Slasion Royale?
The person I thought was going to win won. So, I mean,
why did I find myself rooting for Suki Doll at the end? Like, I'm not even a big Suki Doll fan. And I knew she wasn't going to win.
I cannot tell you why. The only reason she was there is because she was the last international queen standing.
And they didn't want to make it look that rigged for to be three.
I mean, the fact that the episode before was a double win just to give her a badge, so it made it seem like she could potentially win. Yeah. I was.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew Brigading was going to win. I probably wanted Arizona Branding to win.
Okay.
But my favorite look was actually one of Venus's runways, her yellow runway.
Mm.
The headless one, and then she popped it down.
That's right. That's right. I mean, they had great looks. That last runway was really good. Or, you know, the last three runways. Yeah. Talent show was a little interesting. It was a thing.
Suki's talent?
Suki's!
I am sure culturally that version of storytelling is a valid piece of theater, and I would enjoy seeing it. However, a 90-second thing in that atmosphere did not come off well or competitive in the least.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Have you started watching Drag Race UK?
Yep, I'm caught up on it.
How are you liking it so far?
It's fine. It's not bad. It's there.
Yeah, I'd say the same. I haven't fully kind of not bonded with, but I haven't like attached to the queens. It takes me a little while to get into the cast.
I really like Bonnie and Clyde. And Sally TM.
Okay.
And Bones.
Yeah. Who was the one that, oh no, that was, she got eliminated. Who was the costumey queen one that?
Pasty?
No, Pasty went home first after not going home first. Mm-hmm. The one after her that was mad because everybody.
Viola?
Viola, that's it. The one who was like, I play the violin and nobody's ever seen that before.
I loved how everyone everywhere knew that costume was Five Nights at Freddy's, but there was no way she could say the name Five Nights at Freddy's on RuPaul's Drag Race. So she had to describe that she was caught in this mechanical bear costume and all these mechanical parts killed her and now she's a zombie. And you would get that if you knew the context of the game Five Nights at Freddy's. But do you know who would never know that? Is RuPaul Charles. So why would you think that RuPaul Charles, the main judge of RuPaul's Drag Race, would understand what the heck you are wearing on her runway?
Well, and the fact that that was the reference you went for Cuddly Wuddly. That's not Cuddly Wuddly. No. It just didn't make sense. I don't know. Sometimes I just think that some of these queens try to think so far out of the box that they have left the entire goddamn like country, like that they're that far outside of it. It's just,
I mean, also RuPaul's old, so like RuPaul don't know like certain, and I'm wondering if we're going to see more of that as the years go by. Like, the people are going to start pulling out references.
Oh,
that like, oh, that, they that won't happens. Understand.
That happens on Snatch Game all the time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When,
oh
when people
yeah.
pull out celebrity young internet celebrities. Not even
oh, yeah.
like not even like major like musical or movie pop culture celebrities, but like internet YouTube celebrities.
Oh, that's like Evie oddly did like Rico Nasty, and I'm like, I wasn't even 100% sure who Rico
and
Nasty
was. It Crystal Method did Poppy, and it was
yeah. And then you had Aura Mayari doing oh, why did the name just suddenly disappear? But that Olivia Lux doing the vegan like Instagram chef like yeah. Tabitha Brown, Tabitha something.
Yeah.
Tabitha Salon Takeover. If Olivia Lux did Tabitha from Tabitha Salon Takeover, probably would have been better. but yeah, it's interesting, and no, to your point, BJ, it gets to that point. But I also think this is where it gets a little interesting, because people sit there and say, oh, well, RuPaul doesn't know these more recent things. And then it's like, oh, all these queens are so young, they don't understand the older references. But if you're going on this show, and I don't know if it's still true, but I know in the past, they used to give the girls DVDs of like Paris is Burning and like all of the things that RuPaul loves. Fucking study up on it. Don't just make a video every year and hope and that you're going to do well. Make a concerted effort to fucking suck up to the judge that is in charge of the show. Like,
true. And take just a sewing class.
Girl, please. Please. Or some type of design class.
Yeah.
Because even if you like, even if you can like, figure out a way to make it look good.
Because honestly, and I don't know if you've seen Marmalade's new YouTube series.
Mm-mm.
But she started doing a review series of just the runway looks called Behind the Seams. And like for the design challenge, she was very much emphasizing this is not necessarily a sewing challenge.
Mm-mm.
This is a design challenge. Because if you look at the outfit that Bones did, that was a glue gun outfit. Mm-hmm. Because it's just yoga mats. But it's the design. It's how you style. That's what's telling you. That's what's informing the judges on, oh, you have a sense of style and you understand fashion. And that's what they're looking for.
That was very much a Laganja critique during All Stars 10 when she was filling in on, here's our Race Chaser reference of the episode. But when she would fill in, that's one of the things that she talked about. It was like, because I think it was not Alexis Michelle. Who the hell was... Tina Burner. I was like another theater queen from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Tina Burner's outfit was constructed very well, but she was like, the design, it just looks like it's something off of the rack. Like there's no real flair or pizzazz to it. So it gets it. Like I could see both kind of aspects of it, but I'm intrigued. We'll see what happens. I thought that the dedication to the Viv at the beginning of episode one was lovely. That weird Met Gala-esque interview with Plain Jane in pajamas. Weird, but whatever. And I think it's still too early. Maybe we'll revisit next time we record and see if we haven't gotten to the end of the season yet, who we think will take the crown at that point.
And do you think Jujubee is learning Spanish so she can be on Latina Royale?
No, but Set Her Aside will definitely have that promo picture ready when the cast does get announced, because I can't wait. You know what's funny is I don't want it to be another like let's be heavy on Mexico, although Mexico doesn't have as many seasons. They're only at two seasons right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see people like Yara and like Jessica Wilde and, you know, potentially even Alexis Mateo. Like, I want some of these queens who did not get a real fair shake in the U.S. go back for Latina Royale and see.
So you're hoping to see You're hoping to see Serena Chacha?
Yes. Representing Panama, Serena Chacha. Hopefully not. But like some of the queens that were really hindered in their runs because of the language barrier and how mm-hmm. how much of a push it is, I want to see that. I was like, oh god, another franchise, but you know what? I'm kind of excited for that one. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, I think we have a couple of quick little things. Brian, I'm going to toss it back to you. I think there's a couple other topics before we wrap up for the month. What you got?
Yeah, no, I just want to throw out some, we're talking about queer culture and Drag Race. There are two shows out there that are both comedies in their own ways that are very queer, and I want them to have their due. One of them is coming to an end, that's Solar Opposites. If you've not seen this show that was originally started by Justin Roiland on Hulu, as sort of another Rick and Morty sort of clone, because, you know, Rick and Morty, he of course was, you know, kicked off on not so ceremoniously of both shows, but the show kept going without him. It has been amazing. I guess some of the writers from American Dad and some other amazingly funny people got involved and sort of have been working on it. And it's just, it's aliens on Earth doing wacky sci-fi stuff, but lots of great commentary, and just like I said, exceedingly queer. The main two are very like male presenting, and they're like a couple basically. At first they didn't treat them like that, and then they got really into it, and it's just been delightfully hilarious and also very, very gay positive. So they'll be over soon. It's the last season. I think there's like five more episodes left for us to finish. But if you've not watched it, there's six great seasons out, some holiday specials. I think it stands up. I don't know that it's exceedingly topical, but they're definitely dipping in a little bit on some of the authoritarian vibes for this new season, even if it's just throwaway lines. So I forgot. Is anybody else watching Solar Opposites?
Okay. It's on my list to watch like during like a long work deployment or something.
You should mainline that
shit. Right up there.
Especially what'll be nice for you is if you're going and binging it, there's this ongoing storyline that's called The Wall, but it's basically one of the aliens like shrink rays a bunch of people and puts them into like a terrarium.
I've seen a clip of that.
It's a great like ongoing story. Like a lot of it's very like, who cares? You don't need continuity, but that one has continuity. And it's funny, but it's also kind of its own long form story. It's pretty involved at this point. So you'll enjoy that. The other show is English Teacher. I think we talked about this one as well in the past. Did anyone ever watch it?
I started the first season, and I've been following the career of the main guy because he's been on he had his own like YouTube page. Yep. And he did like short form skits and everything. So
yeah,
and he was in the
he was Caleb movies. Gallo.
Yeah.
Caleb Gallo.
Brian Jordan Alvarez, is that his
yep.
name?
Yep.
Oh, that, yeah. He was on Will and Grace also.
He was on Will and Grace. That was his biggest probably,
He's been moving up, and I'm really happy. Kind of like with Quinta Brunson, like she's been she started kind of on the internet and doing BuzzFeed stuff.
Yeah.
And then she kind of skyrocketed, and it's been kind of a similar trajectory with him.
Yeah. So English Teacher, highly recommend. And again, this is about a gay teacher in Austin, I believe. It might be Dallas, but it's definitely Texas. I think it's Dallas. So he's in a conservative area.
You mean what? he doesn't get fired for being gay and then get into drag and then come back and wreak havoc on the school? Oh no, that's the plot of Hurricane Bianca. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
Legit from a Texas conservative area.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what inspired his journey with this, but it's a great ensemble cast. All of the actors that he's worked with, Stephanie Koenig's one of his co-creators, and she's done stuff with his YouTube and other indie stuff, and it's a funny show. It deals with like the real sexuality of like gay men, so there's like thruples and they go to a gay bar, there's leather stuff, there's like one of them is in a thruple or an open relationship. Like it deals with that, but it's also set squarely in a high school, and so you get a lot of that teacher drama, not drama, teacher like satire, or like, oh my god, can you believe we're dealing with these kids want to put on a play, and you know it wasn't gonna be Angels in America and now they've turned it into a COVID play because it's more relatable to them, or you know, we want to be environmentally sensitive, so we're going to set up this computer like a recycling thing, but now it's suddenly starting to take our identity and do AI LLM weird shit. Like it's very modern and relevant to, I'm guessing, a lot of what teachers are dealing with right now as far as students. And it's got a lot of heart, in addition to all this other great stuff. And there's a character, I forgot where we figured out he was from, but he basically is this very sort of, presents as very Southern effete, and he's like engaged to a girl, and the joke is he's 80-20 bi. So he's 80% bi, 20% or 80%, 80%. God, what is 80% gay, 20% bi? And so the 20%, so he's really 10% straight or something. It's like, it's pretty funny. The whole joke is like, you know, playing out over the course of the episode, trying to figure out what his situation is, why he's with a girl, whatever. But it has like, again, it's hard. It's got a lot of like, you know, well-intentioned morals at the end. It's not morals, but like, you know, it brings it all together with a message that's very positive, and yet acknowledging the insanity that is the culture right now. So English Teachers season 2 just dropped. They put all of them up at once. I don't know if we're gonna have a third season. I'm hoping they do, because they kind of leave it open-ended, so to speak. But yeah, no, if you want like more queer mainstream, not even just like indie, but mainstream queer representation in media, I think Solar Opposites and English Teacher are high up, or should be high up on y'all's list.
So, yeah. What is English Teacher stream on?
Hulu as well. It's FX.
Okay. Soon to be Disney Plus.
I know. Which will, who knows if that'll change the likelihood of it being renewed. You know, I don't even know what's going on with FX.
I mean, I know you can watch English Teacher on Disney Plus now.
Oh. Is it part of the, because like, part of Hulu is on Disney Plus already.
Yeah, like I think almost the entire Hulu library is already available on Disney Plus.
Not General Hospital. I still have to go to the Hulu app to, because I'm like, okay, well, if General Hospital is on the Hulu-ified Disney Plus or Disney Plus-ified Hulu, I can just stop paying for Hulu and just go. You know, I have one app, and I cannot watch my stories on Disney Plus. So. I'm mad about that, but anywho, speaking of TV, because I just found out about this recently, I apparently am out of the loop. Scrubs is coming back with a reboot / continuation kind of thing with the cast. Like the entire cast is coming back, and that makes me so happy. So, yeah. I mean, I'm excited. Most people, or if you've, I'm pretty sure I've made my feelings known about it. Season 9 does not exist in my timeline for Scrubs. It ended at season 8 with my finale, part 1 and 2, and that's it. We didn't have season 9. There was none of that. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen with this. And I think Shrinking is coming back for a third season as well. I need to get on Apple TV so I can watch season 2. Because I really did enjoy season 1 of Shrinking, and maybe someday soon I'll get on to that. So yeah, that about covers a lot of the topics we wanted to talk about for this month. It is almost Halloween. Actually, this will come out on Halloween, so be safe out there. Enjoy yourselves. Those of you at Spooky Bear in Provincetown, have a grand old time. I want to go next year. If you're out and about and you're listening to this on Friday morning, be safe out there. Because, you know, Friday night Halloween shenanigans are going to be a lot. So until next time, thank you boys for joining me on this journey. And we will see you all next time. Flame off.
Bye.
Peace.